Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Clap along, Judith. Ooh, clap along in time. Come on, remember how we used to do this. Clap along, clap along. Okay, thank you very much, Daisy, for kicking us off with the music. Let us begin the show, episode 201. Jesus God. Some people have just discovered this podcast, Judith.
Where have they been? Keep up. Keep up, girls.
Yeah. And some people are starting from the very beginning. Yeah. Oh, you're nutters. We'll do some emails later. But anyway, listen, let us begin with the coronation.
Well, of course, it was a big, but yeah. I mean, actually, if you're not into football, it's kind of the World Cup, isn't it? It sort of was a little bit like that.
Yeah, I think we were slightly overexcited by the prospect of it. And in reality, it was a little bit dull. It got a bit, you know where I was? Can I just set the scene? And then I want you to set your scene. I was in my sister's Welsh Valley. Yes. Right? I was in Wales.
I can picture you, yes.
Yeah, because you've been there. Uh-huh. And so, you know, you're lucky to get reception on your telly because it's in the bowels of a valley.
It's in the middle of nowhere. Yes.
And it's this television because, you know, my sister's an academic and I think she's on her way to getting her third degree at the moment.
But she is amazing.
I just zone out. Because it's a sort of, there's something about being with family that makes you regress very badly. So I've just spent 4 days down in Wales. It was beautiful, actually, I have to say. It was looking absolutely glorious. Quite a lot of rhododendron out, Judith.
Don't rub it in. Just because you suddenly know all about rhododendron.
Yes.
Little smart aleck you.
But you know that the television in the cottage bit of my sister's place, right?
Remember the television yet. Yeah.
Well, that's because it's the size of a fucking matchbox, so you probably didn't spy it.
Oh, no. Is it little and old fashioned?
It's the smallest television I've ever seen in my life. And it's got remote controls that you haven't seen for 30 years. You know, it's that kind of thing. So anyway, it was only me and Jeff watching the coronation. I mean, They went for a big walk. Well, there were 10 of us down there. And so there were a couple of factions. So we split into thirds on that last Saturday. And it was only me and Jeff left in the farmhouse watching this minute television. and my sister's training to go on a walk in the Lake District. So she went off with some of the nephews.
Oh, nightmare. Then, nightmare. Well, yeah, even I wouldn't have gone with her. I wouldn't have
even... a proper fucking hike, Judith. I mean, I would really like it one day to spend the weekend with you and my sister just to see the peaks of bossiness. There should be some kind of, you know, when you go to hospitals and they have to strap you up for a heart attack or whatever, if there could be some kind of medical device that could be strapped to you, my sister, to see who has the top levels of control freakiness and bossiness. And honestly, I think it would be neck and neck. I think you would sort of fight each other to the death. I think at the end of it, the two of you would be slumped in an exhausted pile.
Explode with bosses.
Yeah. Surrounded by sort of, you know, cleaning equipment and hiking boots. Just trying to outdo each other. Yes, well, I've cleaned out the bottom oven. Well, I hiked up to the top of a mountain and back and came and made supper for 10. And have I complained? No, I haven't. I put 3 washes on and pegged it all out even though it was raining.
And then you could throw in, just for good measure, some wild swimming competition, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And some cycling.
She fucking went in. She went in the sea. Yeah, she did.
Of course she did. Of course she did. With or without a wetsuit, though. So yeah.
Well, my sister's very thin, remember?
Yeah. Okay.
She weighs about 7.5 stone through in a wetsuit. So, and her son Jasper went in an old wetsuit as well. You know, that was on the next day. That was, you know, we went along to the beach. I had a paddle. It was very nice. There was no fucking way I was getting in. But so Jeff and I sat in front of this minute television watching. Now, set me your scene, Judith.
Well, pouring with rain here. Absolutely horrible day. I was in one of those moods, a bit like you're just describing with Sarah, where I was determined to get some jobs ticked off before we sat down and watched it.
Because it was early, though, wasn't it? Early?
I know, and this was the problem. This was the problem. I was determined to go to B&Q to get all our annuals. Now, do you remember what annuals are? Because I did tell you last week.
They are only seasonal. They do not last all year.
Very good. Very good. Not that difficult, but... Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, broken out into a sweat then.
I was determined to do that. So I marched Mike round B&Q. And he actually wanted to see the carriage come out of the, thing. Oh, actually, I just remembered that. I squeezed in an Aldi shop as well. I was vile.
What
actually,
time are you up? Morning. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm always up, but I chivvied him up. You know, come along. Terribly. You're right, I am. The boss from hell. Anyway, so we did that. We marched round Lidl, marched round B&Q.
You just said Aldi.
I get them mixed up. Do you know, I still can't remember whether the one that's near us is Aldi or Lidl. I don't really care.
Either one of those two.
I can't tell the difference. And so we got a little bit later and everything. So he was actually a bit pissed off with me. God, he's so patient, isn't he, with me. He does stand for a lot, you know. Yeah. And because he missed the carriage coming out. He hasn't listened
fucking
to it on the radio.
Hell, Judy.
I know. So that was the bit he wanted to see, actually. I know. I was anyway, got all my annuals. So we sat down and watched that on the telly here. So this is interesting, isn't it? I was in for quite a long session. I was quite prepared not to be able to prise myself away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got a bit bored.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, when the religious bit kicked in. I mean, it was just such a kind of ludicrous. There was something of the christening about it. You know, like christenings are never quite as good as weddings.
Yes, absolutely.
There's something a bit boring about them.
Yeah,
and there was something of the giant baby about Charles in these robes. It was a bit robey, wasn't it? So it sort of had, it smacked of a slightly long-winded christening.
yes.
And then
it's an interesting analogy, isn't it? Because it is sort of what it was.
Yeah,
with
it is, because it's anointing.
Which we didn't see because they put that screen up. Annoying.
Yeah, I'd wandered off by that point, Judith.
I was quite amused
by what they kept giving him. They kept giving him stuff. There were gloves and sticks and all sorts of things. And someone very hilariously on Twitter said, it's like a sort of old man buckaroo. You know, if they give him one more thing... He's gonna buck and everything's gonna fall off him. I thought that was a really good analogy. And there was just this extraordinary pomp, wasn't there? There was a hell of a lot of pomp.
Oh, and nonsense, really. Yeah,
pomp and nonsense.
Pomp and nonsense. Which sort of seemed like kind of, well, it was feudal, wasn't it? I mean, I actually thought the gold carriage, I mean, obviously it's gaspingly amazing, isn't it? But it is kind of feudal, isn't it? And feudal was the word that came to my mind throughout, really.
However, it does exist, and it is a sort of extraordinary demonstration of British craftsmanship. I mean, you know, can you imagine anybody being able to make that with our potato, phone-based thumb hands now? apparently that was originally made for another king and they didn't make it on time, unsurprisingly, because it's a bit fol-de-rol. You just think, okay, this carriage exists, you know, what do you do with it? Do you smelt it down and sort of give everyone a quid?
Or do you show it off once in a generation?
And, you know, there were hundreds of soldiers and service people there. They're on a payroll anyway, so they're just getting an extra day or something. I don't know. But they were... Because coming from an army background, I do quite like seeing excellent marching. And there was some excellent marching.
Oh, yes, there was.
There was some excellent... So I sit there and I say things like, very good marching, excellent marching, all in time, very neat, well done, the boys, and girls, good to see girls now. But then there wasn't enough flamboyance in the costume department, I didn't think.
What do you mean, in the audience or in the military
In the audience. You know... King Charles didn't have much choice. You know, he was swaddled in his robes.
And he's not very photogenic, is he? I mean, come on, let's face it. He's not, you know, he's not Kate or Meghan coming down the aisle with some gorgeousness. I mean, that is part of the, that's part of the problem, is that you've got, you know, the star of the show. Well, first of all, he needed his eyebrows cut. Do you see his eyebrows?
Pushing away. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, the star of the show is the 74, 75-year-old man.
Which
it's
is kind of a problem, isn't it? I mean, it is a bit of a problem. Down he comes the aisle, you think...
Yeah. Oh. I mean, if he'd come down as a Morris dancer, he might have had a quick...
We've got to come on to the Morris dancers. We'll talk about that later. We have to talk about that.
But, I mean, what did you think of Camilla and what she was wearing?
I thought her dress looked heavy and a bit... and didn't really suit her. It looked a bit kind of... And it wasn't great on the bust. You know, she's a bit busty.
I thought the fit was chunky.
Bit low on the bust.
Not
very comfortable. But I thought, well, she needs a new hairdo. And interestingly, did you see her sister and her best friend who were, you know, whatever the
all had the same hairdo.
Yes, they all had the same.
They looked identical.
But yeah, I mean, identical. Just, exactly.
It really looked like the understudy and the swing were in the yes, sidelines, you know, just in case she had a fall.
It did.
Or whatever. And one of them could just slip in.
Yeah, that funny kind of updo-y kind of
The boofy flick, as 80s, you described it in our
notes.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and yeah, you know, not a good look with sort of little flat on the top.
But people wouldn't like it, Judith, if she went for, you know, the butch crop that most of us go for post whatever. Apart from you haven't gone for a butch crop yet.
I think I might need to, but yes. Tell you what I also felt about Camilla, and I'm kind of feel a bit embarrassed about saying this, but when she walked in, there was a smirk. The word smirk comes to mind. The expression that she had, and Camilla Long in the Sunday Times wrote this very funny article about Andrew and Harry arriving in what she called the car of shame, they got this terrible car together. But she said there is a sort of look that Camilla has on her face, which is kind of wry amusement, sort of disbelief, but also kind of, you know, or can't wait for a ciggy and a stiff drink. It's sort of, which I don't know, I mean, I'm sure she's great fun. I mean, everyone says she's absolutely fantastic. But there was a sort of little kind of, I don't know.
You thought she was smirking?
A little bit of a smirk.
A triumphant smirk, is that what you're accusing her of?
Yeah, well, a little bit, yeah. Well, no, more than a little bit. That's what I thought it was. Look at me.
On a television the size of a matchbox, I couldn't pick up the smirk.
You couldn't pick it up.
Other outfits.
Yeah, other outfits. I thought Jill Biden looked very lovely.
I didn't like that outfit. I thought it was very straight. I thought it was very, very conservative. I didn't like it. I thought it was dull. But I liked the colour combination that she was doing with her granddaughter, the Ukrainian colours. I thought that was a nice statement.
Yes. Pretty Yelende?
Pretty Yelende. I don't know. The opera singer in the yellow dress.
Right. Yellow sort of butterfly thing. I thought that was, I wouldn't like to be sitting behind it, but gosh, that was amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, there are quite a few things that you wouldn't like to be sitting behind.
Ooh,
there were quite
some
a few hats.
Oh, and of course, Princess Anne's feather.
She had her. Was it a tricorn hat?
It was
a uniform hat, wasn't it?
I mean, you've got to hand it to her, haven't she? Really, she picked that one out. God, I do love her actually. But yes, this great flouncy hat, a feather, which it was kind of weird that it covered Harry's face.
That was all very well choreographed. You barely saw Harry. You barely saw him. And then there was the very lonely walk when he came in. And he looked quite relaxed at first. You know, he was joshing with... You know, what is extraordinary is those girls. I'm going to up those two girls because they've had Eugenie and Beatrice. They have had a lifetime of being slagged off, haven't they? Those two girls. Can you imagine our daughters who are similar age being able to take all that shit that they've had? Stupid hats and their stupid dresses and their fat this and their fat that, and just the absolute tide of shit that they're always completely smothered with, and then the embarrassment of their mother getting her toes sucked, and then the humiliation of their father. Yes. They either have the hide of a rhinoceros or they're just absolutely maxed out on Valium all the time. I don't know.
Yes, because they glid down that aisle, didn't they, really? graciously. Yeah, they just
get on with it, you know, and they chat with Harry, and they've got these two blokes that God knows, you know, nobody really knows where they're from or anything. They're, you know, but they just kind of, they provide a bit of glue, don't they? They're the safe cousins that you can go and sit in a corner without anybody starting to smash
stuff
up.
And I think the Phillips are the same, aren't they? You know, yeah, Zara Phillips and her children, and they're quite sort of normal and...
Listen, everybody, just to interrupt this coronation report, my cleaner's here and she's hoovering and I'm very, very sorry, but I'm not going to stop her. I'm not going to stop her. So we've done the royals and Andrew, I mean, least said, soonest mended. What do you think?
Well, I don't know, he managed to get some sort of outfit on, didn't he? I don't know where he backed to. He nicked somebody else's because I thought
I think it was a theatrical hire shop. I think it was a panto thing. I think he went to a theatrical hire shop in Windsor, which would have posh stuff because they've got that theatre, haven't they, that do good panto every year. And he just said, I'd like the Lord Mayor's, some kind of variation on a Lord Mayor's, and I want silver buckle shoes or something ridiculous, you know. I mean, whatever.
I tell you what he did, which I'm sure Trump used to do all the time as well, is he invented people in the audience as he was walking up the aisle that were, you know, supposedly waving or smiling enthusiastically at him. Do you know that trick?
Yeah. I've done it myself. It is that kind of acknowledgement. Oh, people know that I'm here and I'm acknowledging back.
Hi,
good to see you too. And then we get on to the politicians very quickly, because there will be people here who couldn't have given a shit about this and just going, oh, come on,
girls.
Quite
a lot, I think. What about Penny Borden talking about politicians?
Well, she's come a long way since we did Splash together. Do you remember? I did that diving show. She was on it. She did a massive belly flop.
And there she is with the sort of ceremonial sword, which apparently weighed so much she had to do weight training for.
Yeah.
Carry it for ages, wasn't she? I mean, ages.
I don't know why she didn't have, you know, like when you're in the guides and you've got to do the pendant, the pendant or the pennant. And you had a sort of lanyard round your waist, round your shoulders.
With a holder for the flag, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of spread the load a bit. I mean, she looked good, if you like that kind of thing. It looked like something from a sci-fi convention, to be quite honest.
It did actually, didn't it? It looked like Star Trek?
It was very Star Wars or Star Trek-y. Yeah, totally. She designed it herself. You've got to give her some credit.
How amazing. By the way, did you notice that choir boy at the beginning, right at the beginning, who had obviously quite an important thing to say?
He had to say something, didn't he? And then he didn't know how to leave.
And it was like, you could always see Charles thinking, yeah, okay, you've done it. Yeah, very good. Yeah. I'll just push off now. All right, I'll run along.
Yeah, there was a moment where I thought, oh, bloody hell, you know, this is already seized up. And then there were so many living prime ministers.
Absolutely. Yeah, a great little... I wonder what the collective noun is for ex-politicians.
A cock-up.
A cock-up.
Ex-prime ministers. An absolute cock-up.
Yeah.
I thought Theresa May's outfit was very good because she's always been dressy.
Very elegant and stylish, hasn't she?
Yeah. Carrie Johnston, drab. I didn't know it was black or navy. Drab.
Oh, yes.
Drab.
Oh, yeah. Just the first thing she could find in the wardrobe. That'll do.
It was
That'll
very
do.
Little effort there.
Yes, I agree.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I didn't stay with it as long as I thought I would, and I drifted off planting my little annuals.
Me too. Yeah, Jeff and I went and did some drawing, and I did some pebble collages. We'll talk more of that later on. We were sort of in the sort of bosom of the family.
Yes.
For a number of nights. It was it was quite successful, to be quite honest.
So it was a harmonious week, was it? I mean, that's a lot of generations to kind of keep happy. Although I'm saying that, and your mum wasn't there, was she?
And my mum wasn't there, and Phoebe and Tristram couldn't go because it was there to, they had to go to the other in-laws because it was, you know, it was time. Also, it's a hell of a long way to drive a baby in a very small car.
Oh, isn't it?
I know. It really is. I mean, we got back in good time yesterday, but it can be 8 hours. It's a schlep.
Golly.
So it was a good, you know, we'd sort of mixed the cars up when we went on trips. We took some nephews sometimes. We did different things with different people. It was nice. The only thing is that I am not allowed anywhere near the fucking kitchen. Not allowed near the kitchen.
I think that's good, isn't it? I mean,
you could see it as a bit of a result, yes. But it does, it is, you know, it does make one feel, again, imbecilic.
Well, so who's the cook? Well, obviously Sarah's the head cook. She would obviously be in charge of the
shopping. Yeah, but she's not the best cook. She's not the best cook.
Oh, is it your brother? Your brother?
My brother's a really good cook and a generous cook. You know, there's enough. If Ben's cooking, you think, oh, there'll be enough food. If my sister's cooking, you think, we better put some bread on the table as well. You know, that kind of thing.
So what did you have? What was the highlight of the
Good meals. They were good meals. Yes. We supplied all the lunches and the booze. And we had chickens, roast chicken one night. We had a big lamb one night. Then we had
Welsh
lamb curry.
Did she get it from the butcher?
Yeah, she did. She complained about how much it cost. And there wasn't really quite enough, really, to be honest.
Right.
And then on the last night, it was only me and Jeff and Sarah left, and we just had a picnic. We had a picnic of leftovers, right?
Lovely.
Anyway, so I saw a lot of family, almost a glut of family. And I even saw a second cousin I hadn't seen for ages. And cousins are great, aren't they? Even if they're just second cousins. There's something about family where you just slip into a very relaxed
mode. Yeah.
And this second cousin, she said to me, the only time I ever stole anything was when I was with you. And I should have been ashamed, but I just thought, oh, well done, teenage me. Well done for leading this nice girl astray.
But I don't know what you mean about cousins, because it's that connection back to the past, isn't it? I mean, you know, you've reached our age, you might, you know, there's no point in mucking about. It's come straight out with it, and things that you remember and things that sort of stick out. How funny.
The roots are connected. The roots are my grandmother and her grandmother were sisters. You know, it's
absolutely
like a deep
it's important
thing. It is entangled.
Absolutely.
Did you ever shoplift, Judith?
I didn't. Well, no, I'm lying. Yes, I did a little bit. But I had a boyfriend who was, he was very good at shoplifting, and my mother never liked him, and she was quite right not to like him, although I never admitted as much. And he bought one of those, you know, do you remember the army surplus shops?
Yeah.
He bought this enormous military coat.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically. Yeah. So that he could go to the record shop. And obviously they have great big pockets, you know, to get...
Well, it's also just voluminous coats. You just slide them inside and you clamp your elbow to your side.
Together,
you
can I know.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you can keep a couple
exactly
of albums tucked in. Yeah,
yeah, but he used to make me go and talk to the guy on the till while he did it. Yeah. I was his accomplice.
Yeah, you were like the Bonnie of Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, I was easily led. Did fancy him, though.
You did fancy him.
I did fancy him, yeah. I did fancy him. That was what it was all about. He was an estate agent. He was quite a lot older than me.
Oh, good Lord.
Yes,
a shoplifting estate agent.
A shoplifting estate agent,
Hold on. He sounds like he might have been about 27. He sounds a bit dodgy, Judith.
No, he wasn't that dodgy. But he was quite a lot older than me, actually. He was quite a lot older than me. But yes. But it's funny, isn't it? Because I remember my mother saying, this guy, I'm not sure about him. I think parents, they do probably get it right, don't they? And at the time, you don't think they had it, but they do. Yeah, absolutely. And she wouldn't have liked you, yeah. by the way. She would not have liked you. Just
didn't, your mother did like me. We met on several occasions.
When we were young. I mean, when we were young. If we were, you know, when you were in your bad influence stage.
Yeah.
She'd have sniffed that out, really.
Yeah. Loads of boyfriends used to tell me, used to say that to my face. They used to say, yeah, my mum doesn't like you.
There you go, which is why
my
mum
thinks you're kind of horrific. Anyway, yeah. there we go. No, I had one boyfriend whose mother really, really adored me, was really upset when we split up, and I went to see her a couple of times and did a lot of crying at her house.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, there we go. Did your mother like Mike? Well, obviously she did.
She did. She liked Mike, and my father adored Mike, yes, because he was the sort of dependable, quite well, you know, connected and all of that.
They both,
Yeah. They both saw him as, I think, a safe pair of hands, which is
My mother was exactly the same about Jeff. Jeff was such a creep. He came up to my parents' house. We didn't sleep in the same room, even though we'd been, I think, lived with together. And he bought a car off my dad. You know, Jeff, he's quite...
He's a bit persuadable.
My dad was a bit of a minx, so he thought, this idiot will buy my shit car. He bought a Maxi off my dad. And my mum said to him... I was still anorexic at the time. My mother, at one point, tried to open a conversation about giving Jeff £10 a week to buy me meat. It was her.
What?
She thought I wasn't getting enough protein. And she was so upset and sort of, at one point, I think there was a conversation about whether she could give Jeff money to buy me meat.
To go to the butcher's.
As if Jeff would ever go to the butcher's. Aww. I mean, Jeff has never been a suit. I mean, I've told you how Jeff's shopping habits in the old days and how we used to buy our groceries with his luncheon vouchers that he got from the TV Times.
I remember you saying,
and we used
yes.
to go to the Clever. Only supermarket that Clever. Was open on a Sunday down the King's Road called Europa and buy rotisserie chickens. Yeah. So in some respects, she got her wish. Anyway, let us have a little bit of a grandson catch up. Have you got them today?
Yes, I have, and I can hear the toy, which goes on and on forever, and will, you know, in the unfortunate sort of event of a nuclear attack, will still be going. Do you know what I mean?
I think it does.
Old MacDonald, and then if you switch it to the wrong setting, it does it in German, and then you can't get it back.
Yeah, we've got one of those that goes into Russian. Which is really disturbing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I can hear that going. I think Mike will probably be getting a bit, you know, looking at his watch. And
Just tell Mike we've had to do a coronation special.
Well, exactly.
Hours.
I mean,
you could have an hour on the bed, Judy, if you're very clever about this. So I've got Arlo has started.
Oh, he started at nursery. How did he get on?
Well, I've got his report. I don't think it's daily, but he got a report after his first day. Arlo was settling really well today. He didn't eat much for his porridge this morning, but he did nibble on some toast. He's been happy and smiling with his friends. We've offered him a nap, but he was too busy babbling to himself.
I wonder if it's true. I wonder if he balled his head. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say that.
He's got no separation anxiety yet. Because I think this is quite the clever thing about sending kids to nursery. Everybody has an opinion about babies and nurseries, don't they? Have you found that?
Yes, I mean, it usually involves the germs, doesn't it, really? But yes, some people think it's good in that it socialises them. I'm sure it does, actually.
Yeah.
But you might find that the separation anxiety happens a bit later because Stanley's got it at the moment quite badly.
Oh, really?
For Mike, actually, not for me. No, Mike walks out of a room and he points at the door and cries. Quite jealous.
Oh, no. God, you're going to have to buy him some more things.
Yeah. No, but Eddie likes me. Eddie likes me.
Okay. Well, you've got one each. There you go.
Yeah,
Jeff
and
I have to fight over Arlo. Okay, we're getting a bit dull now. So let's get on to... Just before we go to Culture Corner, Judith. The dullest thing happened to me yesterday. So fucking boring. I came home and we got home earlier from Wales than we thought we would.
Right.
And you know that awkward thing when you come home from holiday, sort of instead of 6 o'clock when you can just give in and just go, the day's over, don't need to do anything. I got home at 4 o'clock, which meant I had to sort of do stuff. So I cleared my tulips.
Oh, yeah.
And then I rinsed some shale because, you know, we put shale on top of the pots where the tulips were, right?
Because of the squirrels.
Yeah, and I rinsed the shale in the kitchen sink and I broke the incinerator. The fucking incinerator.
Jenny.
And a new one is £150, right? And then I have to have it fitted. So that's going to be 300 quid, isn't it?
Oh.
Which means I can't have my new trainers that I wanted to have this month. And I'm so pissed off.
I bet you are. Oh, I'm with you on that. But why did you put the shale in the kitchen sink?
I didn't. I had it in a colander. I had it in a colander and I was rinsing the soil off, right? And then Jeff was saying, it's only £2 for a bag of shale. What are you doing? I said, I was just, you know, when you get, I'd started a job and I couldn't not finish
it.
I had to see it fucking through, which meant, anyway, there we go.
Just have you got an outside tap?
Don't even start that. Yes, we have. And I don't know why I didn't use that. If I had used that, if I thought. But, anyway, it's done now. Have you done any good painting or...
No, what have I been busy doing? Job. Well, I've been in a greenhouse, which I've restored. I mean, they're saying that. Yeah. It's taken me absolutely ages. It was falling down, and it's still kind of falling down and leaking. But I'm quite pleased with it. You know, it's one of those jobs where you walk past it and you think, well done, that.
Well done, me.
Yes, so I've got all my pots all in little lines, and I've got all my seedlings now. It's all beautifully tidy. I've got a little bin in there, a radio. It's actually my new den.
You can't have another den, Judith. You've got a Wendy house. You can't have another place.
Well, I have. I've got another little den where, you know, I might put the audible on and everything. And yes, it's all very lovely.
Have you got veg? Have you sown your veg?
Yes, I've got my runner beans.
I don't like them. I don't like them.
And I've got my tomato. Oh, you don't eat them.
I can't. I'm allergic to them. Go on. What have you got that I can eat?
And I've got some yellow courgettes.
Oh, I'll have them.
Yeah.
I've got those.
Yeah. They haven't started to little poke through yet, but they might soon. That's all very exciting. Yeah. You have to nurture them. So, yes, I've been busy. It's all very satisfying. But actually, we've got to write this show, haven't we? You and I are meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, we're having a day with Daisy. And you haven't seen Daisy in physical person for a number of years.
Before COVID, she said. I know, before COVID. She'll look
at me. I'm going to send Daisy a text, right? She's listening now, so it won't be a surprise. But I'm going to send her a text that says, don't be shocked when you see Judith. Don't be shocked. She's put on quite a lot of weight recently.
Oh, stop it. Yeah, well, I have.
Very silly.
I'm massively older. No, but what I'm excited to see Daisy. I'm excited to talk about the show, although I know that we've got to have a snacks and lunch planned because you and I, it was me especially, I'll start dipping. And I might not wait till 1 o'clock. I'm warning you.
We're going to get a delivery and it's not going to come till 1 o'clock, Judith. So, you know, you just have to sort of gnaw on the...
I might have a quiet word with Daisy about
that. In the boardroom. You're just going to have to gnaw on the... They have a big bowl of chocolates in the boardroom, don't they?
I know. They do. Yeah. Ooh, don't forget. Yeah. There's a lovely round ones. What are they called?
I don't know. I'm not interested in them. They've got a drinks fridge as well with cold Diet Coke and a coffee machine.
Yes.
We'll fill our boots, Judith. We're going into management.
And... The stationery cupboard.
Let's see if that's unlocked.
I haven't sniffed around there for about 3 years since before I'm about to take a big bag.
Yeah, okay, right. What you want is your army surplus coat that you loaned to that old boyfriend of yours, and then we go to the stationery cupboard together and see
you
how
can
much
keep
you can
people
walk
talking
out
in the corridor.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll distract in the corridor. I'll do my cartwheel show. And my dancing. Okay, it is time now for Culture Corner.
Yes, what have you been watching, apart from Coronation? What have you been watching?
Okay. Well, interesting experiment. Jeff and I had the last night with just the three of us, me, Sarah and Jeff. And we forced my sister to watch normal terrestrial TV light entertainment.
Gosh.
Which she never watches, really. You know, it's all for her. It's all documentaries and sort of stuff.
Educational.
Educational.
Yes. Improving.
Stuff.
Improving.
Yes. And she watched MasterChef, which she sort of, you know, she stomached. And then Jason Manford's very jolly Eurovision programme. Okay. Which was Jason basically saying, I've never really got into Eurovision, why should I? And a girl called Chelsea Grimes telling him why. It was just a nice, jolly documentary about Eurovision. Mm. And my sister, who's never seen anything like this before, went to bed saying, well, I found that quite uplifting. It was. I'd almost say joyous and uplifting.
Welcome to our world.
She'll fucking be watching. She'll get into all the shit.
She'll be in Love Island.
Yeah,
that would be a challenge.
God,
if you
could
get her into Love Island, I'd be impressed.
She'd need strapping into a chair, but I'm prepared to do it. Okay, now then, what have you been watching?
We watched Malpractice, which I think I might have mentioned, which is sort of, I think it's written by the same people as Line of Duty. It's about a doctor, and it's about her, you know, the investigation and how it all pans out. And actually, very well written, really, lots of surprises and turns in the plot, and you're kind of really rooting for her. And it's, I would recommend that. That's ITV.
Okay.
And then we finished last night the second part of The Problem Prince about Prince Andrew, which I would recommend very much, Jennifer, because it's really, it's about the way the interview came about and how Emily Maitlis and the producer from Newsnight sort of went about trying to get him and were astonished that he agreed to do it. And they were obviously describing great detail being in the room at the time and watching his, the kind of physical fidgeting and, they pick it, they go through it bit by bit. It's extraordinary, actually. I would really recommend that as a piece
of television. Okie doke. Right. Films? Any films?
Yes, we saw something called 23 Walks, which I think is quite recent, but not very recent, with Alison Steadman. So obviously you think, well, that's going to be really good. And it's about a couple who meet walking their dogs, hence 23 Walks, obviously in their late 60s, 70s, and they fall in love, basically, but not without quite a few hitches. And
with tongues, do they do tongues?
Well, yeah, you see, what's interesting, well, eventually they do, and eventually they do make love. And but, you know, it was
Do people over 70 make love? They never shag or fuck. They just make love.
Perhaps. It was. I hesitated as to how to describe it, didn't I? I was struggling a little bit.
Bonk.
It was the bog. Yes, that's right. So it happens. And obviously it's bound to happen in the end. And it's, you know, great. That's fantastic. But, it's tricky, isn't it? When you kind of have to because when young people are doing that on telly, and, you know, visually, their bodies are lovely and gorgeous and so on. But and it was kind of subtly done up to a point, but actually there was also something very real about the soundtrack. And I found myself thinking, I don't know whether I wanted to see that. I don't know. That was a good idea. It's a terrible
and
thing.
And did they
admit.
Snog?
What specifically snog?
Yeah, you know, open mouth, tonguing, snogging.
I don't think there was there was you know, heavy bonking, and the soundtrack was very, as I say, very realistic. Not specifically. Okay. Why are you saying that?
Who
you
was
think
the
that
fellow? Who was the bloke?
He was a northeastern actor, and I'd have to Google it.
Okay. Well, people can watch the film for themselves. What platform was this on? Jesus, I've
Netflix.
Never heard of it.
Netflix.
Okay. Right, you are. Okay, yes. I haven't had time to watch. We don't watch television when we're with family.
No, of course you don't.
We just fight and squabble, and my brother sets fire to stuff. It's, you know, that's what happens. So, book-wise, what are we on?
I'm reading the first book that I've ever read, actually, by Graham Norton, called Homestretch, and it's really good, really, really good. Actually, I don't know whether you've read it, but it's about.
I'm a bit jealous of Graham because he's sort of catching up with me now on how many books he's written, and he's actually always been very generous with my books, and I really should read one of his. And I think I know that he takes books and writing and reading very, very seriously.
Yes,
so
does.
I never thought for a moment that any of his books would be a lazy kind of, you know, or ghost written or anything like that. They are very much his work.
He's clever, isn't he?
He is, and he deserves every bit of success. He's a good, good bloke.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm reading or listening to Original Sins by Matt Rowland Hill. I think it's going on a bit now. So I don't know whether I can wholeheartedly recommend it, but it is an interesting story about a young man brought up in a Christian fundamentalist family, and his upbringing backfires into heroin addiction via Eton and Oxford. It's a very, you know, it's very well written. I don't think enjoying is the right word. It's just, it's kind of, you know, it's about how he slides into being a junkie and what awful things he does whilst he is a junkie. It's very, it is, you know, he is obviously has a brilliant brain. And so the book is very, very finely written. It's this isn't a sort of scurrilous, rompy kind of thing. It is pretty.
Sounds a bit bleak.
Yeah, it has bleak moments. Yes, it's poetically written.
Heroin addiction, wouldn't it? Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't make you want to take smack, basically, which is quite.
Oh, that's good. That's a relief.
It doesn't make you think. This sounds.
We wouldn't know where to buy it anyway, would we? So that's, you know.
Oh well, I'd just go down Brixton and see what I could find. Right then, emails and comments on the notice board.
Oh, well, we're going to have to talk about the Morris dancer, aren't we? I mean, me. Talking about the fact that I never used to fancy them and I've started to fancy them. Well, it opened up quite a can of worms, didn't it, from the gang?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that it was it wasn't a furore.
I had a bit of a telling off, Jenny.
I don't think people are telling off you off, Judith. Nobody can tell you off for fancying a Morris dancer. It's just not one of those things you can get told off for. You are a woman in her 60s. You can fucking fancy who you like.
I think,
but people were slightly aghast at your tastes. You know, you can fancy who you like.
Takes
Judith.
All sorts, exactly. Yeah, someone suggested. Someone said, "Have you thought about a caber tosser?" Which, you know, well, I hadn't.
No, but you can start thinking about. Very chunky. They're very chunky. I have to say that the other thing that is miniature in my sister's place in Wales is the double bed that Jeff and I had. Honestly, it was the size of the television. And if you went to bed with a caber tosser, there wouldn't be any, you'd just be on the floor all the time.
You'd be tossed on the floor.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Old-fashioned.
I suppose it is that kind of thing of if you like being thrown around, if you like the idea of a sort of massive bloke who can pick you up and then chuck you a long way.
You see the attraction. Oh, yes, I don't know. I thought, well, yeah, maybe I should go to the Highland Games. What else did we have?
Well, we got an email from Elizabeth. 69 in 4 days, and last week you mentioned the Vagifem plastic applicators.
And we were wondering whether
they could be recycled, reused, or just got done away with entirely. And Elizabeth thinks we should have maybe think about a craft section using the Vagifem applicators on the live show.
Absolutely. I think that's a really interesting idea.
I think it's one to pass on to Blue Peter. I'd really like... Are they still doing Blue Peter? Because I'd really like to tune into Blue Peter and hear young people say, there's a big problem with plastic applicators for sanitary wear and menopausal women. So we've collect all your plastic applicators from your mums and your nans and let's see what we can
Send
make. Let's see if we can make... what was it that everyone went crazy for on Blue Peter? Something Island.
Milk bottle.
The one
not
from
Firebirds. No, not Firebirds.
Yes, it was them. It was them. Thunderbirds. It
Thunderbird.
Was
Thunderbirds.
Yes, the
island.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, somebody will tell us. And we've had some funny dreams as well. You know, you've had your anxiety dreams about the live show. Have you had any more?
Yes, I had. I had one recently where nobody could hear me and the audience started talking amongst themselves. That must be a bit of a nightmare. I mean, if that started, I don't know what I'd do.
That has actually literally happened to me at corporate gigs when, there's mostly blokes in the room and they just have turned their backs.
Because
and just
what
started
do you do? You can't say stop
you
talking.
You get louder and more hysterical. And of course, what you should do is get quieter and more controlled. But I'm just, anyway. We had from Jessica, she wrote in and said, I had a dream last night. It's not an anxiety dream about the show, but it does involve you and I. I had a dream last night where Judith was showing me around a dormitory in the hostel she was working in. Jenny was checked into one of the top bunks and had a special orthopaedic cushion set up for her back. And then she follows this up by saying, it was a right dive. So you are... So the live show doesn't pan out, Judith. That's your future. You're going to be working in a ladies' hostel. And I'm going to be so on my uppers. I'm going to have to check in. But all I can afford is a top fucking bunk.
I love the fact that you have to have an orthopaedic cushion. Yeah. Like, needy. Look at me.
I'm still a bit special.
A bit needy.
Christ. Okay.
Very funny, Trim. Dream. Right. I think we need some more hobby crap, don't we?
We do. We definitely need a few more hobby crap.
We need some
crap.
More, please.
You're too talented. You sent us a lot of stuff, but some of it's a bit too good.
A bit
so
too,
we want
yeah.
some more shit. Yeah. Yeah. Though we did get some very poor pottery last night, so that's enjoyable.
Oh, I haven't seen
we still have tickets left for that Saturday matinee gig, which is on the July the 8th. We do have some, embarrassingly, yeah. we still have tickets left for
not masses.
Saturday.
Not masses.
I've stopped looking because it was upsetting
yes.
me. So if you want to get in touch with us, it is olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Right. So I better go and look after the twins. You
yes.
better go and have some breakfast. And we're not around next week, are we? I'm afraid.
Oh, God, no. I'm we've got something. Two. We're having... Well, you're away. You're, well,
I'm away. I'm
again?
Something. Yeah. Up Catalan. Up the Catalan or something. Yeah.
I'll be going up the Matalan. You're going up the Catalan. Going up the Catalan on a bike.
On my e-bike, I said, yeah, I send photos. Of course I'll send photos showing off on my e-bike.
I'm going to delete them. Any photos you send us on the
you?
Instagram.
Are
I'll just do, because I have the ability to delete things. If it's making me too jealous, I might just delete them.
I don't know how to delete. But now you've said that, I'll learn.
Thanks very much for everything today. Thank you for listening. Episode 201, over and out.
Toodlepip.
Bye!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.